Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Holson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you with us once again this week. Lots of things going on. We're going to have a good friend of mine, longtime friend of mine, Trevor Sumption from Owners of Fishhawk Electronics. We're going to talk a little bit about what is that, and also different uses and different things that go on with currents in lakes and how they set up for better fishing. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and a push to map the Great Lakes, kind of the bottom of the Great Lakes. It's going to be you're going to want to hear about this one coming right up. More Valley Outdoors. Stay tuned.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Well, Ava, apparently we're missing somebody. I'm looking at
your co-pilot.
There's nobody there.
It's empty. Like, space.
I'm running my hand through this space where Don used to be, and there's nothing there.
There is
Wait,
nothing there.
Let me go stand over for a second.
Nope. He's definitely not there.
Nope. Microphone's off.
Nope. Microphone's off, and I can stand in his location. So
you can.
Yep.
It's kind of positioned right where his mouth would be.
His face would be, yeah.
There is no face.
No face. Face is missing. I have a face for radio.
Hopefully he's with us next week.
Yeah. Hopefully. That'll be kind of cool. That would be kind of cool.
It's Memorial Day weekend, though.
Yeah, coming up. Yeah. Well, we're in it, I should say. We are in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am bound for Lake Michigan as soon as this show is done.
All right.
Yeah, last weekend was getting the boat ready, making sure everything was working correctly. And we put new plugs, you know, it's a twin, two big blocks in this Pursuit, 34 Pursuit. And boy, I'll tell you what, they don't make it easy to change spark plugs on these
things.
No,
I'm sure not.
On the outsides of the hull, it's like you got to be a gymnast in order to do it.
There's a guy on TikTok.
There's a guy.
Who is sailing from Oregon to Hawaii. He's giving himself a month.
Sailing or rowing?
Sailing. He is sailing with sails.
Not my idea of fun. I'm not a blow boater.
Him and his cat. But yeah.
Oh, so he is a crazy cat guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Never move along.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. No. But to watch him like try and do repairs on his sail boat out in the middle of the ocean. Yeah. No thanks.
Nope. Especially when it comes to rough water. They actually mm-hmm. found a boat that tipped over in Italy. In a big wind, it turns out that the boat design was not such that it could actually handle a 75 knot wind, because the mast was so tall, the wind took
sure.
the mast, tipped it over, and then water came in, it capsized, and it killed
yeah.
a bunch of people. So,
well, boats are only meant to handle certain conditions, so.
But you would think the engineering side of it would handle that, but oh well. Moving on to good stuff, speaking of being out on Lake Michigan last weekend we had wind. And it brings me to kind of the tip of the week to looking for with the spring temperatures we've had this last week. It's almost winter. You know, we had some frost warnings
well
going on.
It might as well have snowed.
We had
it
frost warnings up north, you know, all over. So just north of the cities. And with the strong winds, what happens on a lot of lakes, you know, the early season sets up to be northern bays or warmer bays, and it's going to allow the fish to dark bottoms like crappies and that to spawn and have that really the right temperature to create spawn and or to release it. And with the wind, it takes lakes and churns everything up, so you no longer have that surface temperature or that shallower areas to remain. Now you have wind that's blowing everything everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you a prime example, this is kind of a Great Lakes thing, which will lead into our second story. But yeah, one of the things that came up was when you have such a strong wind, earlier they were catching fish on Lake Michigan in 25 feet of water. Water temperature is like 49 to 50 degrees. So the fish will hang out there because it's perfect for bait. It's perfect for just perfect temperature for them. Well, then we had wind blow Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Monday, Tuesday.
Sunday. But I mean this last week. Yeah, this last week. Yeah, it's blowing and blowing and blowing. Well, what actually ends up happening, the wind blows from the west. So it pushes all of that surface water out. What replaces surface water? The cold below underwater. So then you now have a 42 degree water in 20 feet. And now the warmer water is out at the 100 foot depth level, but on the surface. So total flip flop. And that's where it pushed the fish. So when you're looking at what's going on this spring with the wind that we definitely had, the cold temperatures we had, you got to set up a milk run. You have to keep trying a bunch of different spots.
Because you just never know.
But be mindful of when you're catching fish. What is the water temperature? Be very mindful of that. And we'll talk a little bit about that with the fish hawk, with Trevor, just in shortly here. But understanding what's going on at depth, down deeper, it doesn't have to be really deep to figure out, okay, why are those fish hanging out there? But then developing that milk run because of it and really understanding there's multiple spots we can hit. These fish are going to hold at a certain level. And what are the currents doing? Because you have a lot of different current levels. But it really was stark as far as the differences that you had this last weekend out on Lake Michigan. And it happens in a lot of fisheries. It can happen on Mille Lacs. It can happen in Lake of the Woods. It can happen at just about any place you're going to go to. But crucial is understanding what that does when you start catching fish or finding fish and how that impact really affects you and what your what species you're going for. So crappies, sunfish, same kind of thing. Look for those areas which are going to warm back up again, because overnights, what this last week, were 40s.
I know. I had to bring my flowers in.
You did?
Well, yeah. They don't like to be that cold.
40s
is
just brisk. It's not freezing.
No, I know, but flowers are, they're weak, weak-hearted things. Unless you're a pansy. The pansies love it.
Why does that seem odd?
I know. They have the
pansies
worst.
Aren't pansies.
Pansies are not pansies.
Wow.
They look like old, grumpy old men, little faces. They do. They should be grumpies, not pansies.
Oh, my. Well, speaking of non-grumpy old men, we're going to be coming right back. We're going to be heading out. Hey, hang tight. We'll be back with Trevor from Fishhawk Electronics. Hang tight. Thanks for hanging in there, everybody. We're always happy to have you guys check us out on Facebook. And where else, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
There's tons of interactive things to find out what is going on in your nape of the woods, neck of the way. You can check it out. Interactive mapping and activities, no matter what state you want to go to. So if you're planning a trip somewhere, simply log on to TheValleyOutdoors.com, click on the interactive map, and you're going to be absolutely blown away. You can get absolutely, it's like that black hole when you're,
yeah, you get sucked in.
You just all of a sudden it's like, mm-hmm. Where am I going to go now and what can I do? And then you can listen to the past shows for how many years?
Forever.
Past forever shows. That's exactly it. Speaking of forever, a forever friend of mine, we were talking about it this afternoon or yesterday afternoon before we came on the air and kind of get developing a history. But Trevor is Trevor Sumption is the owner of Fishhawk Electronics, and we go back friends now 30 years. We were talking about that. Is that crazy or what, Trevor?
It's hard to believe. I actually just turned 50 last week, right? So if we do the easy math that even I can do, it's like, holy smokes. So
it's pretty crazy. You know, you being in working with the Shimano guys and for many years, I've worked with them for many, many years as well. And now look where you've evolved, owner of Fishhawk Electronics, and really helping anglers catch more fish, which is really what it comes down to. But
yeah,
it's kind of
pretty
fun.
Cool. Like you and I were talking, it's amazing how many people that are in the industry that have been in the industry for a long time. And it's just one of those places that when you show up here, sometimes for better or worse, but when you show up here, nobody seems to go away. They seem to kind of, you know, they seem to like what they do. And that's certainly the case for me. And I think for you as well, where this becomes a passion, and, you know, it might start out as a passion for the outdoors and you know, that's a lifelong thing, obviously. But even beyond that, it kind of turns into a passion for the outdoor business as well. And I can honestly say that I'm probably as passionate about the business side at this point in my life as I am about the outdoor side of it. And I would call that, you know, there's good days and bad days.
Well, there always is.
You know, but 80% of the time, I can honestly say that I really like what I do. And man, I think if I consider myself pretty darn lucky to be able to say that 80% of the time I'm pretty happy when I show up to work. So.
Well, and when we look at the evolution of what's gone on in the fishing industry as a whole, I mean, look at where it's gone. When I first started, it was, boy, it was a Magellan Loran type, you know, using triangular satellite,
right.
Or not even
yeah.
satellites, but, you know, towers yeah. to find out where you're at. And I was
sure.
so excited to be one of the first guys to have the chip to put into the graph to find hydrographic mapping, and just as a rough
right.
idea. I mean, you know, and now we've gone to a level where we're pointing a transducer at an area and being able to see the exact detail of, you know, fish moving in certain areas of the forward-facing sonar and other, you know, obviously advanced electronics. But, you know, when it comes to the fishing side, it really comes down to anglers letting the fish tell you a story, I think, is the way I like to think about it. And if the fish are telling you something, you better be open to listening to the story. Otherwise, you're going to be coming back without any chapters in your book, is what it comes down to.
Well, I think that story is written, you know, for all the advancements in technology, I think that story is really written through biology.
Yep.
And, you know, the fact that fish are wild creatures, and, you know, they want to eat and reproduce and be comfortable. So I think, you know, it still goes back to, you know, it still goes back to those biological factors in there. And that's actually what's really cool about Fishhawk. So, you know, you talk about it, you know, how long that we've known each other and just kind of what's happened in the industry in the last, you know, in the kind of the last few decades. And one thing that's really cool about Fishhawk is, you know, the company's actually been around longer than I have. It's over 50 years old. So, like, I mean, it goes back to, like, I mean, and I remember this, maybe a lot of people won't, but do you remember Virgil Ward? You remember fishing with Virgil Ward? You know,
no, never.
Fishhawk,
you mean the Beetle Spin guy?
Yeah.
The jingle was something like "The World of Virgil Ward." That was the,
yeah, exactly.
That, no,
yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never.
Yeah,
heard
right.
Of
yeah, it sounds like you've never heard of it. Yeah, right. So I mean, so you think about that. So Fishhawk was his electronic sponsor, which to me just like blows my mind, because like I actually remember, you know, that like that being like the first fishing show I ever saw, and it was probably the first fishing show a lot. I mean, it might have been the first fishing show, period. I'm not sure. But anyways.
Trevor, here's the funny part about that. I don't know where I was. Last week we were talking about fishing shows, and Virgil Ward was the first. I looked it up, and the internet can't lie, right? I looked it up, and Virgil Ward was the first person to do an actual full fishing show.
And yeah, that, I mean,
he was.
It's crazy. So, I mean, so to me, I just like, you know, having owned the Fishhawk brand now since 2009, to me, that's like a really cool thing, right? Where it's like kind of comes full circle a little bit.
Absolutely.
And, we don't, you know, we don't take that responsibility lightly, but back to the whole, you know, story thing, again, it's about biology and, you know, for us, what Fishhawk does is, you know, we measure, you know, a big part of what we do is we measure water temperature at depth, right? So, you know, everybody can get the surface temperature on almost any, you know,
any sonar unit, as long as you have
any sonar unit, you know, even your entry level stuff, you know, that has your surface temperature in there.
Yep.
But Fishhawk is really the only piece of electronics out there to this day that allows you to get that. And there's a couple different ways we do it, but that allows you to get the water temperature information that's below the surface. So basically it gives you a temperature profile of the entire water column, top to bottom. And why would you care about that? The reason is fish are just like us. You know, they want to be where they're comfortable, and different species have different, you know, tolerance levels. But every species of fish has a preferred water temperature range, and that's what we look for. That's what Fishhawk looks for.
I mean, it's kind of like if the basement's really cold, I'm moving up to first floor because I got some warmth up in the first floor. I, you know, and when you equate that to a comfort level, it also ends up transitioning to the food source, because the food that's going to hang out in that area, whether it's alewives or whatever, they're going to follow that as well. And really that's kind of the key piece to this whole concept, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's just very, very simple. I mean, it's you know, it's just the basics, again, those basics of biology. And, you know, our primary business, you know, kind of our core business is centered in the Great Lakes, you know, for fishing for, you know, trout and salmon is really, that's where our core market is, so to speak, because, you know, for those fish, for salmon and trout, you know, it's not like, in a lot of cases, and not always, but in most of the time, those fish aren't related. You know, they're pelagic fish. They're not relating to a piece of bottom structure or something like that. For those fish, for trout and salmon, cool water fish, you know, temperature is their structure. So that's what they use as structure, because, as you said, those alewives or herring or whatever whatever they're eating at whatever given time of year, you know, those bait fish are very, very temperature sensitive. And if you find those bait fish, you'll find the fish, you know, close by, and they're actually using the differences in water temperature. They're really kind of using those, you know, we call them temperature breaks, but, you know, you'll see different, you know, warmer or cooler water, higher or lower in the water column, depending on what winds are doing and currents are doing, whatever. And sometimes it's not what you think. I mean, a really common one, you know, it's more common later in the summer, but like, if you get an onshore wind, let's say you're over on the Michigan side of Lake Michigan, right? You know, over on the eastern side of the lake where you have a predominantly west wind, you know, something that just blows people's mind is like, we'll actually get a phone call and they'll say, oh, my Fishhawk isn't working. It's saying it's 70 degrees down 100 feet. And, you know, you have to kind of explain it, but guess what? It is 70 degrees down 100 feet. And that's because, you know, if you've had west winds for a week, that west wind is taking that warmer surface water and it's piling it up over on that shore where it's actually driving that warm water down 100 feet. So just things like that, you know, unless you have, you know, something to measure that subsurface temperature, you know, you would never really know what's going on down there.
What also comes to play is it happens in walleye areas as well. I've had it happen, believe it or not, at Devil's Lake, fishing up at Devil's Lake, and I'm fishing in a shoreline. And next thing you know, the wind is blowing like crazy into this shoreline. But I thought, oh, okay, that's fine. But then overnight, the wind switched and blew out, and it pushed cold water into the spot. So all of a sudden, they had a, a 6-degree water temperature switch. So it doesn't matter what species of fish it is. Everything is going to be relating to how that temperature impacts either its structure or its a depth as far as a water temperature depth as well. And that's really what happens in the correlation. Now, go ahead. Sorry.
And biologically, fish like stability. So, you know, in your example there with Devil's Lake, you know, if you have a 6-degree drop in water temp overnight when it's been, you know, when it's been stable for the last week, you know, even fish that are still in the area, they're not going to be in their best mood, right?
So you mean negative?
You know, it's yeah, right.
Well, why so negative?
They're going to be less prone to bite today than they were yesterday. We'll put it
no
that
question.
Way. Yeah. So I mean, it's just. You know, again, a lot of it comes back to, for all the technology we have at our fingertips, it still comes back to basic biology in a lot of cases.
Now, the other thing that comes to play with what you have that people can learn about fish as well, and it's extremely crucial no matter what fish you're going after, it involves water and the movement of water and whatever fishery you're in. And so you have the capability of not only checking temperature at depth, but you can also check the current at depth. And believe it or not, even as little as 60 feet will change that current speed. I've seen it on Lake Erie where one way I'm trolling crawler harnesses and I put my bait down. And we kind of chuckled about it the other day. It was the old Lindy Hatchet harness where I first learned that this is going on. And we were catching a bunch of fish, and I had flipped direction, and I was trolling to the west. And I was wondering why I wasn't catching fish, and I just happened to put my bait down, and I'm looking at the hatchet harness, and it's barely moving. It's not even hardly doing anything. And I thought, well, what in the world? So I flipped around, went the other way, and all of a sudden, guess what? The hatchet starts turning, and I thought, you got to be kidding me. So literally the bow mount speed was the same. Everything was the same. There was no wind. There was no other interaction other than in that scenario, we had wind blowing one day. The wind had stopped. Now the current, it's the slosh effect on that type of a fishery where the water's now coming back to the western part of the lake. Same thing holds true if you're on Lake Michigan. I mean, your surface speed could be 2.4, but at depth is 2.7. Time to throw out the drift sock to get down to 2.2 if you're looking to have that kind of a fishery.
Right.
You know, if you're looking for kings, they like it a little slower. But that you guys have that capability as well in that fish hawk unit, which is really cool.
Yeah, so the original products were focused on temperature, and then really pretty shortly thereafter, and this was, now keep in mind, this was all going on like just about the time that salmon were actually being introduced into the Great Lakes in the late 70s, right? So this is all kind of like happening at one time where all of a sudden these new fish come in the lake and they're exciting and they're big and they pull hard and they taste good. So this is all kind of going down at the same time. So they figured out, okay, well, temperature is important to them, right? And it's important to bait. But then, you know, then the other part of that is the whole speed game. And you know, let's talk about maybe the Great Lakes first, you know, just because it's a little easier maybe to understand. But, you know, you really almost have to think of the Great Lakes as a giant river system because that's essentially what they are. And in addition to the water flowing from Duluth to New York, basically, in addition to that, you know, these are big bodies of water, and they've got a lot of wind generated currents in there. And you know, the easiest way I think for somebody who might be new to the concept, I think the easiest way to describe it is just the simple ahead. You know, you're walking into a headwind or with a tailwind, right? And what that means is like, so as you know, I mean, okay, you might be traveling one direction, you're going one direction on the surface and
any other direction underneath. Yeah.
And a different direction underneath. So let's say that you're, for easy math, let's say that you're going, you know, 2 miles an hour in one direction and you have a tail current that's also going 2 miles an hour, just like you said with your hatchet harness. That bait is basically dead in the water, and you don't even know it.
No.
Right? So,
and, of course, it comes down to the same story. You want the fish to tell you what they want. It could be
exactly.
Very well.
Exactly.
It could be they want it dead.
So, yep. And the other thing that's really kind of There's a couple different things going on there. So,
Running short on time.
All right. So, so I guess bottom line is that unless you have something to help you measure that down there, you don't really know what's going on underneath the surface. And it's not about a magic number, right? So, you know, salmon don't care if you're going 2.2 or 2.4. What they care about is they care about what looks right. And as water has cleared in the Great Lakes, it's more important than ever that your presentation looks right. So once you find something that looks right and you get bit, all you have to do is get back to the number. And that's what FishArc lets you do. We give you a mechanical representation of speed, and it just lets you get back to that.
Before we go, we got 1 minute left. Yeah. How do we get somebody that doesn't have downriggers, how do we get somebody that can employ a FishHawk if it don't have a downrigger? What have you guys got for that?
So we make a system called a multi that basically lets you use it without a downrigger. You know, it basically a little short, stout rod kind of set it up as a poor man's downrigger. That's an option. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. But best thing to do is just go to fishhawkelectronics.com. You can see all that stuff.
Perfect. We'll also have a listing on our website, thevalleyoutdoors.com. You can click on FishHawk, take you right there. Trevor, man, time goes when you have fast.
Time
going and having fun.
I know it. I love it.
I appreciate you coming on. And we'll talk a little bit about that later, and hope to have you out to the boat and do a little fishing. So appreciate it.
Awesome. And of course, take care, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. And of course, everybody out there, certainly appreciate you guys for hanging out with us at the Valley Outdoors with Ava and myself. I hope you guys have a fantastic Memorial weekend. Enjoy Monday, be safe, and have a lot of fun. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.